Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, also Spotify, Apple, Deezer, iHeartRadio, CastBox. There's so many. Whatever. If you listen to podcasts and you're listening to this, you know where we are. We're the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I apologize. My co-host Hannah Bach for the second week in a row. She can't make it. Grandpa's still sick. We wish Grandpa a speedy recovery. I don't know what's going on. Apparently, he's got a bad cold, but hopefully it turns right around. He'll hear the lovely voices in the studio besides myself, and that'll just cheer him right up. I don't know.
Get well soon, Grandpa.
Yes, Grandpa. Get well soon. Anyway, I've got – you know how I like to do it. I like to bring two people that would never otherwise have met. Bring them in the studio.
You never know.
But anyway, you've met sooner than you probably would have.
Yeah.
One of our returning favorites and one of my new favorites, because I just saw her perform Saturday night. It was quite a fun show. It was not as violent as I thought it might be, but got Violent Vicky here, singer, keyboardist, songwriter. I'm really becoming a big fan.
Thank you.
Violent Vicky. There she is. Yep. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do I call you Violent or Vicky?
Vicky.
Okay, great. Okay. And actually, last time she was on the show, the woman right across from you, a little violent.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
You caused quite a sensation on YouTube. You were spanking somebody with a belt with bullets on it and all sorts of other
broke
stuff.
Broke the belt,
and then he... He got rewarded with being able to take beautiful pictures of you.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that. And when I met you, you were just getting back into comedy.
Yeah.
I gave you a couple shows. Now, you're going to be on a big-time sitcom, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
And a little jealous. Jamie Gendron is here.
Hi, everybody.
Eddie Murphy's favorite comedian.
Oh, yeah. Eddie's favorite.
Yes, and for various reasons. Anyway, before we get started, I've got – you remember when we had two sponsors and how long that took?
Yeah.
We got four sponsors now. I'm going to do it as quickly as I can.
Okay.
We're sponsored by Audible. Now, you're on the road. I love listening to audiobooks.
Yeah.
And they've got everything. They got all the bestsellers. They got Stephen King books. I like to say they have everything from Shakespeare to smut. But not only that, you get one free book or a comedy album, because they have every comedy album, and two Audible originals if you just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. audibletrial.com/DMS. They've got everything. They've got these Audible originals are crazy. They had they took Alien 3. They took an old script by William Gibson, the cyberpunk writer, and brought the cast back to act it out. That's one of the Audible originals you can get. Kate McKinnon does a fairy tale with her sister. It's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Bob Newhart interviews comics. They've got a John Lithgow one-man show. They got everything there, including – so you get one book. It's for free, folks. One book, two Audible originals, 30-day trial. You can cancel the next day. You keep the book and the Audible originals. You can't beat that. audibletrial.com/DMS. Okay, that took 20 minutes. Doomy's Home Cooking. you're not vegan. We've established that. Are you vegan?
Yes.
Have you ever been to Doomy's Home Cooking?
No, I haven't.
It's the best vegan food you ever had. Now, this is a cheat day because I'm sure you're very good vegan. You probably are you raw?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe doing some cooking isn't for you, but you can sit there and watch your friends eat, and there's not going to be any meat, so you can tolerate it.
Yeah.
This place is like vegan junk food. It's the greatest.
I'm sure they could make me a salad.
Oh, they have salads. Yeah, it's terrific. But not only do they have salads, they have a Mexican restaurant. The nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos in L.A., the only one without meat. The flautas are huge. They've got pulled pork sandwiches, chicken parmesan, shrimp po' boys, fun fries. They've got the chili cheese fries. They're great. And they're all vegan. No meat anywhere. Just go to – and it's not that far. It's 1253 Vine Street, right on the corner of Fountain and Vine, where the M-Bar used to be. We took Hannah there for her birthday. We had a great time and just had some great vegan junk food. And there's also a place in Toronto. So that's a good place to get your vegan munchies. So that's so now you've read. Now you've ate. Our two new sponsors, Hustler Hollywood. You got, You got to eat. You got to read. You got to have sex. Hustle Hollywood. Hustle Hollywood's got everything. But they don't. I mean, they've got lingerie. They've got, you know, they've got anything you want. They've got dick pills. They've got, but they've got novelty gifts. They've got good, cool clothes. They've got all sorts of stuff. If you go to HustlerHollywood.com, actually go to the where you're watching or listening to this, I will have a code. Or if you go to the Dark Mark Show Facebook or Instagram or Twitter page, I will have a code. 20% off any purchase and a free gift. And one more, Spy Associates.
Spy Associates.
Yes. This is like James Bond stuff. They have like cameras and like and smoke detectors. They have bug detectors. They have GPS tracking. They have all sorts of stuff. If you want to see somebody spying on you, or if you want to spy on somebody, this is the place to go. Now, I wouldn't recommend you spy on somebody, but everybody's watching, and you want to see who's watching you before they watch you. Go to Spy Associates. Actually, go to the same page that you're listening or watching us. There will be a code for 20% off everything. Everything over $249. So you were talking about your boyfriend. You want to see if he's cheating? Just go to Spy Associates. He would be a fool to do that. But who knows?
Yeah.
There you have proof, and you'll just see that he's just sitting at home watching TV or whatever. But anyway, Spy Associates. There. So that's it. Just eat. Yeah, read, eat, have sex, and spy on people. Anyway, Vicky, I went to that. Now, what was that event called? Because
it's called Experimental Night.
Oh, Jamie, you would love this. This was like, this is in Pasadena, like in a little out of the way kind of warehouse place, and they had art, they had bands, they had DJs. It was a lot of fun. I ran into a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a long time, and met some new friends. And you. Actually, all the bands that I saw were great, and you especially were.
Thank you. Yeah, it was put on by X Corps Art Collective.
Yeah, I got to get somebody from X Corps Art Collective on here because they were – I actually was talking to AJ. She was great, and I just hadn't seen her in a long time. And just a great vibe in the room.
Yeah.
I had so much fun. And yeah, sure. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I loved it. I had a great time.
It was just a great energy.
Yeah.
And you came out, and I expected the – I mean, you play keyboards and sequencers and things, I think, and you sing.
Yeah.
And I was expecting something a little more violent than I got. But I'm kidding, but how would you describe your music to somebody who hasn't heard it?
I've dabbled in a lot of different genres, but currently it's been more in the sort of dark wave direction. So I think it's mostly just like a combination of electronic, kind of goth and punk music.
Yeah, I think that's right. It was kind of, I've seen people compare you, somebody compared you to Shirley Manson, which I have to maybe listen to the older stuff.
Yeah.
Because this was kind of more... swallow my gum. I would say kind of a Peaches vibe if, say, the singer from the Cocteau Twins was singing for it.
Oh, yeah. Some of my older stuff has more poppy. Of a Peaches vibe, for sure.
But kind of was really dance. I mean, really good dance music.
Yeah.
But the vocals were very, like, kind of dream poppy a bit. Am I off base? I usually am.
sometimes, and then sometimes it turns into like a Yoko Ono-ish type thing. Like,
There was a little bit of that. I think the last song had a little bit of that, which I didn't mind at all. It was a great. Why didn't I invite you? What was I thinking?
I don't know.
It was great. This was a kind of last minute thing, but it was terrific. But Violent Vicky, you. I think maybe the reason you're violent, you grew up in L.A., right?
Yeah. I grew up in Arcadia.
Wow. That's real L.A.
Yeah.
So, and...
yeah.
Yeah, that's... that homegirl.
Yeah.
And how was that like?
Not too exciting. Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to Old Town Pasadena sometimes.
That's cool. Yeah. But I was reading your press kit, and they said that you were just, you know, you were a nice church going
little
girl.
Yeah.
And all. She's laughing at her own press kit.
I'm just wondering where you found that one.
It's on your website. You might want to update it.
No, it's pretty recent, but
no, but it said you sang opera too.
Well, yeah, I was in show choir in high school, and then I was in church choir as a kid, and then and high school, and then I went into college as a voice major and was in an opera in college, but then after that I switched majors.
So, what's that like taking voice in college?
I wasn't into it because I didn't really like the. Like the competitive vibe that was going on with it. So I just ended up getting into other stuff.
Yeah.
Like I switched to like psychology, film, and then politics, and then ended up taking a bunch of art and women's studies and like stuff like that.
That's great. That's great. But I mean, you know, this change from the la 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 la. I bet there was a lot of that.
You do warming up.
I mean, like, better than I just did, but still.
The bumblebee warm-up. Do you know that one?
What's the bumblebee warm-up?
Bumblebee, 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 bumblebee.
That's great. You said you were going to sing live on the show. That's fantastic.
I used to teach at Juvenile Hall, and the kids really liked it when I did that bumblebee warm-up with them.
Wait, you... I didn't know this. Man, yes, you're a lot tougher than I thought. You taught voice in juvenile hall.
That's where the violence comes from.
I was busy getting arrested. You were busy,
arresting people. Yeah.
You were in juvenile. So you were in juvenile. You've told this story. You were in juvenile hall.
I got locked up in juvie once because I had run away from home and I had made it about 200 miles hitchhiking and I'd gotten in a van and had taken a bunch of pills from a stranger. So I was high out of my mind when they caught me.
My typical Sunday night. Yeah.
And then my mother had to drive in the middle of the night to come get me. And my reward when I got home was she knocked me out with a broomstick in the middle of the kitchen floor. So, but, you know.
If only you had somebody there to teach you voice lessons. I teach you the bumblebee.
No, I cannot sing. Actually, it's in my DNA that I can't sing. I did that DNA, testing thing.
Yeah?
And in the character traits, they go down the list of what you're good at, what you wouldn't be good at, and stuff like that from your DNA. And I don't have the gene to be a singer. You apparently have to have a certain gene to catch tone and pitch and all of that correctly.
Is that specific?
Yeah, it's that specific. It goes down to what kind of earwax you have, what shape your earlobes are. I mean, it's extremely detailed.
Some people that can act can sing, I feel like. They just kind of like pretend like they're singing and just do a lot of like the affected vocals thing.
Well, when you taught in Juvenile Hall, I mean, were there like genuinely talented people there?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of talent. I'm sure. I subbed a lot there, so I subbed like the choir class, but I did teach like a couple summers there, and sure, there's a lot of rappers and musicians and artists. Taught art class. So
my choir teacher. I apparently don't have that gene either, but that's a whole other story. But he also had a tracheotomy. It's a whole thing. But anyway, I. Now you went. Did your parents move to the Bay Area, or did you go to college there? Or?
No, I went to college in Santa Cruz. And then down here. But I was just like living up there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you became a riot girl.
That was probably Santa Cruz, actually.
Yeah,
Santa Cruz. There were a lot of like, I lived in the women's hall. Then I met some riot girls there and got into like Bikini Kill and like Sleater Kinney, stuff like that.
I miss that.
Yeah, it was great.
It's out there, but it's not as much in the forefront as it used to be.
Yeah.
I'm a 90s guy. I remember when, and I've had this discussion with singers that have been on the show that what happened?
Yeah.
women still dominates. Music, but it's all pop. It's not really, some of it's good, some of it's not, but it's not really putting forth that type of really message.
Well, Bikini Kill came back recently.
Yeah, but I mean, what's played on the radio is you know, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, and,
yeah,
you know, and they're dominating. I mean, you know, the guys are. If a guy has to have a hit record, they have to have a female singer on there, really,
mm-hmm.
these days. But I mean, I just remember, you know, like you say, Bikini Kill, Hole, and all, you know, all these great, you know, Babes in Toyland, all these great bands, and Liz Phair, and it's like, and then like, I don't know, Limp Bizkit happened and washed it all away, and I was like, what happened?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what they're playing on the alternative station right now.
Mm.
I have no idea.
Oh, that's, I don't know if I know. Yeah, but it's
still Nirvana.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the station. Some of them are playing Nirvana, and some of them are playing real pop punk sort of, you know, Blink-182 watered down for things. But what kind of I never asked you, because you grew up in New Orleans, which is a great musical city. You've been to New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What kind of music did you grow up liking?
I grew up loving metal.
Yeah.
And loving classic rock. And then when I got a little older, I started getting into new wave and punk.
Yeah.
And then, you know, terrorizing my parents with Sex Pistols and all of that stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And, actually, I ended up liking everything, just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's great.
And now, like when I clean house now, I always put on a blues station because it reminds me of home and hearing the blues playing. It just kind of puts me in that mood. You know?
Yeah, you grew up in the most musical city in the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's becoming really gentrified now, but.
Yeah. Because I lived in New Orleans for a brief time, but it's like, I'm not a big jazz fan.
Mm-hmm.
When they play it there, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear, like, The Wave and Kenny G, I'm not into that. You know, David Sanborn and all that stuff.
It's different now without the smoky little bar effect. Like, I mean, I understand why they banned smoking in the bars. I really do.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, even there.
No.
Yes, they finally banned it inside the bars there, too. And it's just not the same experience to go sit and watch a live blues band or jazz musician and it not be that smoky kind of atmosphere. It's just different.
Well, hopefully in a few years they'll legalize pot and they're gonna be smoking pot in there and it'll be all right.
They legalize CBD.
Yeah, everybody be smoking weed, so nobody be smoking cigarettes, but everybody be smoking weed and getting lung cancer anyway. but I wore my Dolomite shirt for a reason. Because I just to catch you up, Vicky, Jamie had, as you've heard a little bit, had a very rough childhood in New Orleans, and Eddie Murphy sent for her, saw a picture of her, and sent for her to come to Hollywood.
Oh wow!
And you were Eddie Murphy's
toy.
Eddie Murphy's lover.
Side piece,
whatever you say, for quite some time. Now, he made a big comeback. What do you think? Are you happy?
I'm happy for him. Look, I've always said he was a nice guy. You know, he never did anything shady to me. He was nothing but nice to me. So really, I cannot knock him as far as that goes. I can knock him for the down low lifestyle.
Right.
Because I don't think that's fair to anyone else that he's involved with if he's not being honest. But look, that's on him. I'm telling my side of it. If he wants to argue, he can tell his side of it. So.
A couple years ago, like he was out of the game. Like nobody even heard of him. And now,
do you know what my reaction honestly has been?
Yeah.
Every time I turn on the TV, I felt like I was seeing him everywhere I looked, every channel. Like he was everywhere, and I would look at my best friend Daphne, and I just am like, girl, oh, I cannot escape this motherfucker.
You can swear on the show. You know we encourage profanity.
I cannot escape this motherfucker. He will not leave me alone. Like everywhere I look, there he is. And then I'm like, well, you know what? I shouldn't feel bad about doing the comedy about him because now the iron's hot to strike because actually people know who the fuck he is again.
Yeah, he was gone for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, and the newer kids didn't even know who he was, really.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, I thought he was great in Dolomite. I thought he should have got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
I thought he was that good.
Yeah, but, he was.
You know, but you know what he did to you? Forget it. Yeah. The whole Asperger thing, I don't want to get into, but but I just wanted to know what you thought, because so yeah, I thought like you would be seeing him everywhere and get sick of, like, been there, done that.
It's a reminder. It's like, oh God, and then and then I start thinking about which movie he was making and how he had to have that finger wave in his hair because he was making Harlem Nights when we were dating. See, I know a lot of details, so. I know, you know.
Come on, one detail.
One detail? Okay.
You teased it. Come on.
Okay, he's got about 9 inches.
Oh, you said that.
No, I didn't. No, I never told you that, did I?
Yeah, because you said River Phoenix was bigger.
Oh, yeah. River Phoenix was definitely bigger. Yeah, considerably, by a few inches. Yeah.
How many more inches than 9?
Honestly, I would guess River was 11 and a half.
Wow,
maybe.
Wow.
It was, I mean, honestly, it was like a third leg.
Wow.
When he pulled it out and kind of showed it off to me, like, you know, held it and kind of flapped it in his hand a few times, I just kind of looked at it like, oh my God. And I had just seen him in the movie. He was young Indiana Jones.
Right.
And I had just seen the movie the week before I met him. And so when I met him.
So boyish, so cute, so prepubescent.
Oh, he was so damn cute. Oh, he was so cute back then. And we were the same age at that point, so.
And people don't know who he is now.
I know. People, but they know Joaquin.
They know Joaquin. I tell people River Phoenix, they're like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Hmm.
You probably don't even know who you're talking about.
He was Joaquin really Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix's older brother was a big star in the early 90s, and unfortunately he had a heroin overdose and passed away in front of the Viper Room.
Yeah, I remember that.
But if he did not die, he would have Leonardo DiCaprio's career.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's better looking and just as good, and he was a great actor.
Yeah, he was.
So it's weird when you talk to anybody under 40, like, who's that? And so I guess his movies didn't really, I mean, people know the Indiana Jones one, but
yeah,
that's kind of the only
reference. A river runs through it?
No. My own private Idaho.
No, you know, you ever see the Indiana Jones where it was Sean Connery was the father?
Mm-hmm.
And before, right, in the beginning of the movie, they have a young guy playing Indiana Jones?
I don't know. I'm
really, it's been
not
so
good
long.
With movies or actors.
Well, he played Indiana Jones, and when I saw the movie, I said there was one scene where he falls back on his back, and they come down with like a sword right between his legs, or a rhino sticks its horn right up between his legs. And I just saw something, and I was like, that boy's packing. I just know he is.
Yeah.
And then I met him the next week, and he was.
Okay.
he was in spades.
He was Indiana Jones.
Oh, yes. He, yeah.
So I was going to ask you, and I probably, you did say that the bands that were inspiring you. When did you say, I'm going to go ahead and start writing songs and do it myself? And go on stage?
I took some electronic music classes in college, and then I was living with a bunch of people that were like into experimental electronic music. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I bought a drum machine off of eBay after college for like $40, like a 80s kind of Yamaha drum machine. And then I was just messing around with that for a little while in Portland, and then moved back to my parents' house and ended up taking my recording onto my mom's 4-track that my dad had got my mom, and using her Casio. And so then my first show was at a coffee shop in San Dimas.
Okay.
And I was super nervous.
So your parents are musicians?
They are, but in a very different kind of way.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, but they
like in the like church choir kind of way, and like my mom is accompanying kids on for their shows and stuff.
Well, that's cool. So, yeah. I mean, they can play musical instruments and they can sing. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that's a help.
Yeah.
It teaches you, you know, some musical theory and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And in the 80s machine, did it like have like a hand clap? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Setting? Oh, that's
and
great.
It has like pink and purple buttons on it.
Oh, yeah. That's so. You still have it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
So, like, if you really wanted to, you can make a total like Hall & Oates like kind of beat and like old like Flock of Seagulls kind of stuff. And
yeah, I could I could press on it, but it's a little limiting, you know.
Yeah, no, I know technology's caught up.
Yeah,
but it's, I guess it's kind of like being on an acoustic guitar. It sort of, you can get the basics on there and then build on it. So you were at the coffee shop with your keyboard. You were pretty nervous, huh?
I don't think I was even playing a keyboard. I was just singing and just like standing there, like really embarrassed. So things have changed a lot.
Yeah, no, you're very confident on stage now, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, the first time on stage is always, if it's not nerve wracking, you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah.
How was your first time on stage? Doing comedy.
Oh, okay. Doing comedy, it actually went really well.
Yeah.
Like I did the audience was in, they were with me.
Nice.
But my nerves were bad up until the person before me was up. Mm-hmm. And once they were up, I started biting at the bit to get to it.
Right.
Like it started getting in me like, okay, I'm ready to do this. Mm-hmm. Let's get this done. Come on. And then once I got up there and did it, it was like a total rush. And that was it. I was hooked. So
were they bombing the one before you? Or?
They weren't doing that great, and they were also doing something that comedians do sometimes that I think is kind of lazy, which is mm-hmm. reading jokes from their cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of – look, it's their business. If that's how they want to do their comedy, that's fine, but I think that you should at least – look like you made a fucking effort, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two schools of thought on that. I as long as it's funny, I don't care. Personally,
yeah.
I never. You see me. I don't. I got all up here.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, I don't write things down.
Yeah.
And I did a roast last week where somebody had things written down, and it was funny. But when he got off script, it was a lot funnier.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well,
that's what I think too. I mean, it's just more spontaneous without the notes, because then if you mess up, you go in a different little direction and it can take you somewhere that's even better.
Was this an open mic though?
Yeah, it was.
Well, and I mean, they're working it out. I can see that.
Yeah.
But so I'm going back here because I don't know. You went from Santa Cruz to Portland and I missed that whole trip.
Yeah. I just moved there with some friends from Santa Cruz and it only lasted a few months there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you find your voice?
When exactly did I find my voice?
Yeah.
Well, when I first started making music, it was more on the monotone side because I was more inspired by Electro Clash, you know,
like
Peaches, Adult.
Yeah.
La Tigra too, Chicks on Speed. Tracy and the Plastics, and then it kind of eventually just started getting a bit more soulful, and I incorporated more of the punk element in there too, and then it got more gothy. Like I just I wrote some songs a few years back, and that's a lot of where what you saw in the performance.
Yes.
And I was super busy for a while with crazy work, but had this opportunity to work on music more in the last 6 months. So, yeah, I'm going off on a tangent.
That was one of the questions I had, because there seems to be a gap in your catalog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is like 2012, 2013.
I got a master's degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what?
Social work.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I got a master's, and then I was like working at a rehab for a couple years, and it was like really crazy.
Rehabs can be crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's terrific work. Mm-hmm. Actually, let me, it's actually perfect timing. Let me go ahead. I'm going to play your news track.
Okay, cool.
Which we are all very happy for. And we I love it. Jamie loves it. Hannah loves it. Paul's going to love it in a second. Give me a second here. Oh. Okay. You ready? Okay. This is called Serotonin, which inspired by rehab, perhaps?
In a way.
Okay. Let's listen and figure that one out.
Thank you.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's, I would have stripped my favorite song.
Once upon a time.
Oh yeah.
It's a good one for that. It's a good one for goth clubs, for dancing. It kind of reminds me a little bit a little Massive Attack meets Sonic Youth a little bit.
Yeah, somebody else said Massive Attack. Yeah.
So the beat is kind of like that, but that's the highest of compliments.
Yeah.
For me. So I was very impressed, and not only that, you've opened for some interesting bands, very eclectic group of bands that you've opened up for. Opened up for the guy from Atari Teenage Riot. That must have been that I can see that pairing.
What?
You with the guy from Atari Teenage Riot?
Oh, Haneen, the female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I say guy?
It's okay. But I wanted to say, speaking of
the person from Atari Teenage Riot that you toured with, I know there's a girl. This is going to haunt me the rest of the show. But anyway, I can see that. That's a great pairing.
Yeah.
Also, somebody I'm sure you remember, Missing Persons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It was fun. It was at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach. So it was pretty cool. I liked them a lot.
Was she cool? Because I don't know. I've heard a few things.
I didn't really get much of a chance to talk to her too much. So, yeah.
I had a friend who used to guest keyboard with them said she was cool. But, we all have our days. Mm. and that's great. And I saw that you were, you had also performed at, was Occupy Oregon?
Oh, Occupy Oakland.
Occupy Oakland.
Yeah.
God. I'm fucking up so bad tonight.
It's okay.
No, Occupy. Well, I got the Occupy right. Occupy Oakland, which is something else. What happened to that?
What happened to that? Oh, what happened?
I remember that was like, I'm like, revolution's coming. And then it was like,
I know in LA that Food Not Bombs was shut down as a result of the one in LA. You know Food Not Bombs?
No.
No, it's like organization that feeds homeless people.
And that was shut down because of?
Yeah.
Because of Occupy?
Yeah. Yeah, for some reason.
Why would they do that?
I'm not sure exactly why, but I just heard about that through the grapevine.
Yeah, because I remember that was that was a big movement. I was like, I was all for it. I'm like, yeah, let's, and then, fuck Wall Street, and we elected the Wall Street guy. I don't know what the hell happened, but you're bringing it back. You're socially conscious. You're a riot girl. And like I said, you don't have any nervousness. Now, you, there's a lot of things going on in your life. I'm going to start with the guy that the last time you were on, you had Kinkin' Jesus.
Yeah, gotcha.
And you were flying. Well, the thing is, Jamie used to be a dominatrix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so she's like, I haven't done it in years. Is there somebody you could find for me to practice on? I put it on Facebook. I got so many responses. It was a flood of responses. And then we got this guy called Kinky Jesus, and we had a great show with him. I was like, okay, and that's the last I heard of Kinky Jesus. He thanked me a couple times, and that was it. And then all these beautiful pictures of you pop up.
Yeah.
Taken by?
He was Kinky Jesus. Hmm. He's a photographer. And I did a photo shoot with him, I guess, about a month ago, month and a half ago. And he had a friend who's a makeup artist.
Yeah.
And she's done a lot of work for HBO and other channels like that. So I've got her for a really good price. And she did an amazing job on my face. So I'm actually using her again next month when I film.
You can't go wrong with your face. Come on, but the makeup was definitely different from what you usually do.
Yeah, it was.
Well, a lot more striking, and it was just wow. Was this to thank you for the beating or what?
No, I actually I wanted to get a good headshot out of it, which you and I discussed that, and I'm not quite sure I got the headshot I wanted. He kept wanting me to look away, and that's fine, and it's very artistic, and it's pretty to do that. But a headshot, you need to be...
It's head on.
Yeah, and he really, there was only one that was me facing
Right.
And I wasn't that crazy about that one.
So. Right. He had a vision.
Yeah, he definitely had a vision. And that purple dress would have been beautiful had the wind kept blowing,
yeah,
you know, with me. But, right, of course, the wind stopped as soon as we got out there. And then it kicked up again when I put on the steampunk outfit.
Of course.
Yeah.
It always does that. But people online are going crazy over you.
They got those pictures got a lot of response. The main ones that got responses were me in panties and a bra and a white man's business shirt with the cuff kind of popped up, and it was and they had a swing in the studio.
I bet they did.
Not an adult swing like that, but not for a sex swing, but it was a regular swing. And so I sat on that and took a few pictures on there, and it, yeah.
I want to see the pictures now.
It's on my phone. I'll show you after we take it.
Cool. Yeah, I got to look at those again. I forgot about the swing.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen them all.
Maybe not.
But I'm sure he kept a couple for himself.
Yeah, I actually told him I told him that if he wanted to use any of them for his portfolio, go ahead, knock himself out.
Right.
Because at this point, any exposure is good exposure.
Yeah. Know. Well, that's what I think. But I mean, you're somewhat unsure, about how you look, and you're beautiful, and B, of your talents. And I'm getting to this because you just booked a big sitcom.
Yeah. I did.
And we can be, I guess we got to be a little vague on the details, but.
Not terribly vague.
But you play a bikini model.
Comedian/bikini model, yes. Yeah, which, being asked to put on a bikini at almost 50 years old is like, really? Seriously? And the other three bikini models are all in their 20s, of course. And I'm like, yeah, great. Great.
But you booked it, and then you texted me, and you're like, I'm not sure about this. I'm like, you got it.
Yeah, I know.
You got the talent. You got the looks.
I was being stupid.
Well, I'm just curious. You've worked your whole life to get here.
No, and the funny thing is I came back from a trip that I took home to New Orleans to go visit. And
now it's something explains it.
Yeah, something happened while I was there between me and my ex-husband. And he wanted me to leave my current to be back with him again. And we've been friends ever since we split up almost 20 years ago.
That's good.
So, yeah, we managed to stay friends all those years. But I'm not going to leave my current boyfriend. I'm just not. So when he didn't get the answer he wanted, the next thing you know, a week later, he's dating somebody else and marries her within 7 weeks of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really?
First off, he saw those pictures, obviously, and second of all, that's weird.
Yeah, it is, and
he was waiting for you the whole time for 20 years.
He's not. Look, I have guys call me from like 30 years ago that get in touch with me that are still like, I wish I could be with you again. I so want to be with you. And
did you get that, Vicky? People, if you come back trying to crawl back into your DMs and call on
them.
You? Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, look, when you've had sex as much as I have with as many people as I have, I was in the sex industry for 19 years. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that I have not seen, done, tried. Like, really, there's not much you can throw at me that would shock. I don't think there's really anything that would shock me. So,
when was the last time you were shocked?
The last time I was shocked was I saw this girl putting a live baby octopus in her pussy, and I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I think I know her. I didn't show somebody
Japanese
did that.
Porn. That's it was Japanese porn,
oh, no,
and I was like, what the fuck?
Okay,
why
that's
would
not
you
who I
do
was.
That?
That's not who I did a show with, but I did a show with somebody who did that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's a whole other story. What's the weirdest show you've ever performed at?
I was thinking of somebody else's show really quick.
Yeah.
Where there was like a kind of a bondage situation happening, but that wasn't my show. So what was the weirdest show I performed at? Man, I might need to think about that one.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put a bookmark into that one.
Yeah.
But congratulations. Now, you had your table read this weekend.
I did. And when I auditioned, they wanted me to use this voice that I auditioned with, which is an exaggerated version of my voice, which is, hey, y'all, how you doing? I just don't know what to think about that, quite frankly. You know, and I did that voice for the set that they wanted to see, and right. They liked it.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to keep the voice, so I did the voice during the table read. Well, afterwards, me, the creators, and the star were left in the conference room, and we started talking, and the star of the show said that he liked my real voice, to please use my real voice for the lines, but to keep the fake voice for my stand-up part in the show, because I do stand-up too. Right. So,
do all the bikini models do stand-up or just
no,
you?
Just me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The rest are just, they have some comedians that are supposed to be class members. It's about, okay, I can tell you. It's a stoner comedy.
Okay.
And there's lots and lots and lots of marijuana products in it. Mm. From Pops pot pancakes to Pops pot syrup to brownies, and the whole show, everybody's getting baked. And,
right.
You know, and there's some really funny, ridiculous lines in it that you just feel like there's certain things I would just never say, like bragging about my hot body. I'm just not that type of person to sit there and say, oh my God, my hot body is so, you know, I just don't do that.
But
for the sake of the show, look, right. I got to get into character and do what I got to do. So.
Right. You were going to say, Vicky, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought of some crazy shows.
Okay.
So I played at a house that was people were getting evicted, and that was I think it was like maybe like the mid 2000s or something.
Oh wow.
And it was in LA, and they were just trashing the whole place. Like while I was playing, they were trashing it.
Oh yikes.
Yeah. they just told everybody to
they were graffitiing the house and tearing
it apart. Oh
yeah. Man. To the soundtrack of Violent Vicky.
Yeah, yeah. and then another
were
time,
were they writing VV on the walls?
Oh,
and all
yeah,
that?
Probably. Right. No, another time I was in Santa Cruz at a bar, and it was when I was touring with Hanin Elias from Atari Teenage Riot.
Yeah,
and
she's a woman.
When she was playing, there was a guy I think that like broke a bottle somehow. Maybe I don't know how he did it, but he was bleeding, ooh. And then he came over and he was like trying to like hug me or like be like drip over the merch table.
Right.
I was like, okay.
He wanted a free t-shirt. It's like, oh, you're not going to sell that one with the blood on it, are you? I'll grab that.
But Hanin is pretty used to stuff like that.
Yeah,
she doesn't really
imagine,
like
yeah.
mind. She was wearing a white dress, too, and she was just like, meh, whatever. Yeah,
bleed all over it. That's nuts. Atari Teenage Riot, I can see that.
Yeah.
I was one of their shows. It was pretty, it was quite a pit going on.
Yeah.
All sorts of shenanigans, but I didn't see actual bloodletting, but I don't doubt that it happens.
I saw that at a Lollapalooza one time when Beastie Boys were playing. I remember somebody super bloody coming out of the mosh pit.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that, yeah. I think I saw Nine Inch Nails once, and I went to the bathroom, and the guy's just like over the sink, just dripping, and it was like, yeah. And I've been to all sorts of metal shows where that's happened. But here's the thing, and you got the talent. We've established that.
Yeah.
But there's no music industry. How do you make money at this?
Oh, I know. It's just exposure. It's like pay to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't pay to play like shows, but I was kind of thinking about that with Spotify, how it's like you kind of like pay them to have people listen to your music, but it's like this chance of getting exposed, you know?
Do you really? Well, I guess.
Well, like
you go
any
CD
of
Baby
streaming,
or one of those things.
Yeah, any of those streaming services, it's kind of like, you know, you get like 0.006.
Yeah, we just played
cents.
The song.
I might have made like 0.006
on Deezer.
Cents.
Yeah. On Deezer, so. God, you just made a half a penny right there. Because,
yeah.
because you got into the music business right after it collapsed.
Well, a lot of people buy my CD, like at a show.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Surprisingly, like people still buy
and your shirts.
CDs. And yeah, people buy shirts, so that's really nice. And I did a crowdfunding campaign that people supported recently, so that was cool.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's just, I ask to some musicians all the time, and
yeah.
This is my theory of why everybody's doing comedy now.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people that would have formed punk bands or indie bands, they're all doing comedy now.
Yeah.
A, because they think it's easy, and B, they think that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And neither one of them are true, really. I mean, I guess they're true for a very minute amount of people. But and that's kind of like, I think all the Riot Girls kind of went into comedy now, which is
Carrie Brownstein.
Yeah. She used comedy to get back into music.
Mm-hmm.
Not even on that level, but I mean, the people that would have formed Riot Girl bands are doing comedy. Do you sense that going to the clubs?
Not really.
There's a lot more people doing comedy than there used to be.
Oh yeah, there are. That I will say.
And not
musicians,
all
I didn't realize, but
yeah, when I lived in New Orleans, half the comics I did shows with were failed white rappers. And it's because
it would take one hell of a white rapper to win over in New Orleans. It really would.
Well, that's why they're all doing comedy now.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm ever going to do comedy.
Although it has become a lot more yuppified there. So comedy clubs are probably becoming bigger business than they were.
I went to see my friend who was a comic, C. Free, and he rapped at a club that you were at.
You have a good memory.
No, I'm reading off your bio.
I mean like that you connect all these things.
I connect all these things, and I get them wrong. Well, this is what I was saying. I just try to get people, and I bounce them back and forth.
Yeah.
I know I saw it here. I know
in
I saw
Providence?
It.
Providence?
No, in New Orleans. There was a...
Oh, yeah. I opened for Katie.
Siberia, Club Siberia. Oh, yeah. I performed there, too.
Oh, cool.
Well, my friend Seafree, and I was on... He had a podcast, too. I don't know if he still does, but he did... He rapped at Club Siberia, and his rapping was way better than his comedy, honestly. But what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
But where do you want to go with your music?
Where do I want to go? I'm going to play in Mexico soon.
Oh, that's great.
Cool.
Yeah. Your first time?
No, I played the Anarchist Book Fair in TJ a few years back.
The Anarchist Book Fair? Do tell.
Yeah. Have you been to Anarchist Book Fairs before?
No.
No?
I gotta hang out with more anarchists.
They have like a bunch of zines and like, you know, publications and stuff for sale, and they have like workshops and stuff and performances, like screenings. So,
and they have those in Mexico?
No, they have them all over. Yeah. I don't know if they usually have them in TJ or if they're still having them, but yeah, it was fun. I played in this venue. It was kind of separate from the daytime event of the Anarchist Book Fair. The venue I played in was like this kind of block of clubs. I don't know if you've ever been to TJ, but it's like this huge like block of clubs, and you can kind of go in like out the door and then in another one, out the back door, and then you go in another one. So that was kind of interesting. But I felt like that was fun. I felt like I couldn't really breathe there, though, because it was like inhaling dust.
That's Tijuana. Yeah. if that's all you're breathing, then you're lucky. But how were the crowds in Mexico? How did they like you?
It was fun. It was like a kind of a hardcore punk crowd. So I don't know if it was like I was pretty more electro then, so it was a little like off for them. But this time I'm going to be playing in Mexicali, and the promoter is pretty big, and like he does a lot of promoting down there, the person that booked me, and it's going to be with like electro industrial performer or something. So I think it'll be pretty fitting, and then hopefully I'll end up playing in Mexico City in the fall, and maybe Hawaii also. There's a
cool
fetish club I got invited to play in Hawaii. So
what?
Yeah.
Now you tell me.
How cool.
Jamie just perked up too. Fetish club in Hawaii. I can only imagine what's going on with the hoodlums over there. The crowds, were they mainly American or were they mainly Mexican or?
In TJ,
yeah.
I think it was a combination.
Half and half?
Because, like, a lot of people came from probably San Diego. Maybe some people even came from further, some bands.
Well, I was going to ask, because I know I said missing persons and a couple people you've been, but is there any show that you were on that you just didn't feel like you fit in? Like you were at some metal show or some pop show or some R&B show that you just...
We played with like a Christian band one time in, when you're on tour and you're like passing through like one of those small cities, Eureka in California. Mm-hmm. And we played at this random bar in Eureka, and we played with a Christian band, and my bandmate liked it and she got one of their shirts.
So it was a good Christian band.
It wasn't my thing, but it was just kind of like a different situation.
Right. So are you going to come out with a new album?
Yes. Yeah. This is the first track. Serotonin is the first track from my new album Division that has 15 tracks on it. So I'm kind of like slowly releasing a few singles and then I'll release a full album.
Okay. If you go to the live show, can you get to the full album now or no?
No. Okay. It's not out yet.
All right.
Yeah. It's just this single so far.
Right. And you were saying, because I was you had like all these songs where you're like, oh, you could play this, you could play that. And I didn't find them on Deezer. Like, but you said your old stuff is maybe a little punkier than the stuff now, or
it's more like there's more kind of electropop, electropunk, but also there's some kind of like dark wave on a couple of them influence. Mm-hmm. Like Men is one that's more dark wave.
Right.
It's not on Deezer. That's weird.
Yeah, is on your website?
It would be under Monster Alley. Those tracks.
Was it under Monster Alley? Hold on.
In the album Monster Alley.
Oh, okay, wait a second. Let me grab Deezer again. By the way, I don't. I said this a couple of weeks ago, but Deezer has the best sound quality of all of them.
I've heard about that. That's interesting.
And because trust me, I've been the last 2 years doing free trials with all of them. And let me see here, Men. Oh yeah, right here.
Hmm.
We got some time. You want to play a little bit of that? Jamie, you ready you ready for Men?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what we can do.
Dealt with them all my life. Why stop now?
Here's Men. Ooh, I like it already.
Thank you.
hate to cut that off early, but we're almost out of time. But I like that. That's a banger. That's they should be playing that at Das Bunker and all these other clubs. Awesome. That's very industrial. I like that.
Thank you.
I like it all, and I like I said. But I've got one last odd question for you both, and you know, just listening to the lyrics there, I had all sorts of questions about you and men, but we don't have time, and that got me in trouble last week. But you are now, and I know how old you are, and I know how long you've been doing this, on the cusp of success.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
You're being worshipped. You have people in the industry that you went over there. You wowed them not only with your beauty but your talent. Are you ready for the success that's going to be happening?
I hope so. I mean, when I got back from that trip to New Orleans, I ended up having an agent, like, land in my lap.
See?
And so, I've been auditioning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a movie in December. I filmed it called Maybe Someday. And it's going to be a drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that already. And then now I'm doing the sitcom. The sitcom, because he has a class of students and stuff,
right?
That could turn into something where I become like a regular extra if they sell it, which they're going to try to. The first place they're pitching it is Netflix.
That's great. So do you know when the movie's coming out, or it just...
The movie, I'm not sure when it's going to come out. I probably, you know, how they... They take about a year usually.
Probably look forward to either this year or next year.
Yeah.
But that's great. And Ricky, you're about to go on a world tour, international tour.
A world tour.
Well, an international tour. Yeah. International tour. And your album's coming out, and it's already getting a buzz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you ready for success?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I think she's more ready than you are.
No, I.
And you've worked a long time for it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think 2020, this is the year?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so. Frightening, too. You're going to lose your anonymity in one hand. You
yeah.
know? If it happens, then you lose your anonymity forever.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for that?
I think I am, yeah. I mean, I've never been shy with people, so...
Except on this show, you've been very shy tonight.
No, I'm not trying to be shy at all. I'm just...
She's usually... I think Hannah's not here. You're usually much more energetic.
I know. Well...
You're very thoughtful and very...
Subdued and...
Subdued tonight.
Subdued.
Well, I mean, last time you were whipping a guy with a belt.
Yeah,
but,
it's kind of hard to top beating someone.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, well, we'll have that next time. Next time you come.
Yeah.
Because I still have like 5 emails with guys that want you to beat them.
And you know what? The next time, and it's no offense to Kinky Jesus, love him to death.
You're going to beat somebody else.
Hopefully it's someone with less limits.
Well, like, he has very few.
Kinky Jesus had some limits on me that were really restricting me, because I wanted to do a whole thing of guess what's down there. What do you hope it is? What do you think it is? What do you want it to be? Come on, tell me what you want it to be, because we both know. And pull that kind of mind game with them. And he was not going for it at all. He's like,
you can play that mind game with me.
He's
curious.
Like, no.
I've always been curious what's down there.
He's like, if you got a penis, no, that does not work for me. And I was like, sugar, you're safe. You're fine. So, but I like playing that head game, though. It's fun to play.
Play that head game.
Especially if you get them to say that they want to suck dick. That's like, then you know that you've nailed what you set out to do with the whole game. But
I'll put my head under your dress anytime. I'm serious. What's going on down there? I can only, you know, you got to play with your boyfriend first, so we can't do it right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, and, you know, hearing men, I can only imagine what's down there with you. But anyway. Boy, where does the time go? I've had such a great time talking to you two. Vicky, tell us how people get a hold of you, how people get their music. And if you're listening on all the streaming sites, it's on Deezer, it's on everything. So Apple Music, Spotify, everything. But how do people get a hold of you? And
just Google Violent Vicky. You can find like my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. I have a website, violentvicky.com, Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. Like Spotify, all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Yep.
That's VICKIE.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way you Google it, it'll come up.
Okay.
Either way you spell it.
I was going to say, are there other Violent Vickys that are VICKY or VICKI?
There is a Vicky. maybe something close. Yeah, there's oftentimes like some kind of like football player that comes up, or like a rugby player.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I love the name. I mean, it just rolls off the tongue, so I think it's great.
I like Dark Mark.
Yeah,
you know, Dark Mark.
And nobody gets it right. And nobody ever gets it right. It's a long story. I don't even have time to get into it. But yes, it's violentvicky.com and just Google Violent Vicky.
Yeah.
And please listen to her albums. I should have listened to more now that I've listened to a couple more tracks. I'm definitely going to be bumping that on the way home. And it's great. If you want to dance and, you know, whatever you want to do, it's good making love music to.
Get on the stripper hall.
Oh, well, speaking of that, now, Jamie, how do people get a hold of you?
They can find me on Facebook. You can find my public page, or if you find my private page, then you can maybe friend me and maybe I'll accept. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram at Miss Jamie Gendron, and same thing on Twitter at Jamie Gendron.
That's Jamie, second word, Gendron.
Yes.
And I might have a show for you in April.
Oh, cool.
Maybe if you're free, maybe both of you. But we'll talk about that. And after this movie, the sitcom comes out, and then all the connections you're making with them, and who knows what other projects you'll have.
Yeah,
you'll be inundated with stand-up gigs.
Yeah, I actually heard back from them like 2 months after I auditioned.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the other auditions I've done might come back around, might get a call. You never know.
Look at you. I would say three, but who knows about me? Two superstars in the making. You're never going to be, you're both going to be too big to ever come on the show again. But everybody, goth comedian, all social media, and also vote for Hannah. She's in the top 20 to be an inked model. Go to Hail Hannah Bach 666 on Instagram, or Hannah Bach on Twitter or on Facebook. Grandpa, get well, and everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.